Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A certified mentor with New Jersey's Southeast chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Pappas. Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas. The idea of the self-made man or woman has been associated with the United States since its founding. Entrepreneurship is a huge part of American culture and the American dream. So it is not surprising that it also plays an enormous role in the American economy today, even if it does come with its fair share of pitfalls. Studies have shown that in 2022, a total of 32.2 million Americans were either starting a business or already running one. The United States has one of the highest rates of entrepreneurship globally, making the United States the true home of the self-starter. The increase in the number of small businesses in the U.S. in 2022 is representative of the sustained growth. It marks a 2.2% increase from the previous year and an overall growth of 12.2% from 2017 to 2022. If you're like many new entrepreneurs, you're fired up about your business idea and eager to launch your company into the world. You have an idea for a new business and the wheels are in motion. You are certain that this is the business idea that will change your life, and you're ready to take the next step. Starting a business is a risky endeavor, even for seasoned professionals. You are aware of all the risks, but are also encouraged by the potential financial reward and success. A large number of people nowadays are interested to start their own business. Many researchers claim that entrepreneurship is not a generic trait or a special quality. Rather, it necessitates a combination of hands-on experience and intensive training. In addition, people who choose to be entrepreneurs are generally more driven and fulfilled at work. Despite this positive side, there are some risks associated with being an entrepreneur. As you enter your first enterprise, you will likely face many challenges. There is no official entrepreneurial handbook to follow to ensure your idea will take off, but there are several big mistakes you can avoid when getting your business off the ground. With me today to tell you about the five biggest mistakes new entrepreneurs make when starting a new business is John Baruti. John was a guest on Score Business Points a while back. Welcome back to Score Business Points, John. Before we start, please remind the listeners about you and your business background.
Well, Mike, thank you for having me back. Terrific to be back. Love this. I love the radio station. So real quick, entrepreneur for over 30 years. My main business was a wholesale bakery. I've owned things like an ice cream store for 15 years, multiple properties, both commercial, residential. I've tried a lot of businesses over the years, failed at some, and did very well at others. But that's my background. I came to Score, which is how we met, because I'm semi-retired. I'll tell you that in a second, why at 54 I'm retired. But I came to Score because I love talking business. I love helping people. I love mentoring people in business. So the reason I'm retired at 54, Mike, because about 3 or 4 years ago, right before COVID, I had gotten colon cancer. Doctors told me it did not look good. They told me to get my estate in order. My particular cancer was resilient to chemotherapy and radiation. So again, didn't look good. The geniuses at Sloan were able to put me through a 27-hour operation that basically took most of my insides out. And I had sold all my businesses. So I'm better. It took me almost a year to do recovery, but now I'm better. I'm exercising regularly. I'm retired and I'm bored. So I wanted to be able to help people. That's basically it. I'm bored, which is a terrific thing. Listen, it's a terrific thing to have at my age, but you know, I wanted to be able to help people. And that's why I do things like this. So that's where I'm at.
Well, as I said in the opening, you were here a while back and we spoke about essential habits for entrepreneurs, which was one of your video blogs. And yes, on this show, I would like to talk about another one of your blogs, five biggest mistakes new entrepreneurs make when starting a new business. Yes. So can you list them off first and then we'll cover each one in more detail?
Sure. So what do we have? There's, again, There are many more than this, but let's do, I believe we have all told five, but I'll go through it. So first mistake is not doing enough research. Mistake number 1A, I call it, is doing too much research. Mistake number 2, not having a clear business plan. Mistake number 3, underestimating the importance of cash flow. And number 4 is trying to do everything yourself. Oh, and finally, there's 5. So there's 6 total, actually. I apologize,
Mike. That's right. Well, you said 1A, so.
Right. So technically 6, right? Not focusing on customer service, again, which is a big one. So 6 all told. But number 1, it didn't feel like 1A, the doing too much research, should be a number 2 because it's basically one and the same. Okay. Doing enough research, doing too much research. So those are my 6 top things that people make mistakes
on. Okay, so let's start with mistake number 1, not doing enough research.
So not doing enough research. I'm going through this right now. Well, I go through it almost every client that I get from SCORE and some of my other clients that are outside of SCORE. They're all so ramped up. They want to start a business. I'm going to do this, a bike store, or I'm going to do a restaurant, or I'm going to do whatever it is. And they want to rush into it. They want to do it now. Everybody wants everything now, Mike. Everything, you know, because of all the stuff we have, TikTok, everything's fast. Reels on YouTube, everything goes so fast. I want a business. I want to be a bazillionaire. Hold on there, Sally. It takes a little bit more than that. So doing your research, actually going and talking to people in your business, in your field, is super important, and not enough people do that. And what does research mean? Well, I mean, back in the day, you know, I would go to the library and look up, you know, business plans, and I wanted to own a coin laundry for forever. Back in the day, they had books on how to build a coin laundry. Today, all you got to do is go to Mr. Google. That's it. You go to Mr. Google, or now even ChatGPT, you can learn anything. And it's important to do your research on the computer, but it's way more important to actually go and visit. And it doesn't have to be near you. Let's talk about a coin laundry, right? You want to build a coin laundry, and you want to do it in your town, and there's a competitor. Well, don't go. Sure, scope it out, look at it, but don't go talk to him. Go 3 towns over or 4 counties over and go talk to somebody that has nothing to do with your competition, but will give you a clear, you know, he'll say, listen, I'm thinking of doing a coin laundry over here. What do you think? And they're going to tell you most of the time, people are very helpful. They're going to give you the pros and cons. So that's what I mean by research. Not only doing it on the computer, but doing it, you know, taking the footsteps, going and physically doing the research. Yeah. It's very important.
Yeah, that's funny, because when I did a thing on franchising, one of the things is the term in the franchising. If you really want to be in the franchise business, don't go talk to the guy who's got the franchise in the next town. Go to the next state or yes. somewhere and talk to one of those guys and see if you wanted to. So yes, it's basically the same thing. You know, do I want to be in this business? Where do I go? How do I find out?
Yeah. Right. And franchise, don't go to the super busy one only. Go to the super busy one, but also go to the one that's struggling, because he's the guy or gal or person that's going to tell you, I got to be honest, John, this is, you know, I don't know. I walked in here. I thought I was going to be a millionaire in 2 years. It's been a real big struggle, but I got to be honest. I love doing it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that gives you, the guy loves doing it. He's just in the wrong area, or wrong demographic, or wrong whatever.
Right.
You learn from that. And you go to the guy that's super successful. Hey, Charlie, what do you do? Oh, my God, John, this is, you know, I put all 5 kids through college, and this is terrific. All right, well, what did you do right? What would you say you did right? These are the things that, you know, are part of research. Take the notes. Make a business, which we'll talk later, but make a business plan out of it. Write these things down and basically listen to the people. Again, our last episode, we talked about communication. Listening is so important. So, yeah, the research is super important.
All right, now, doing too much research, or what you call paralysis by analysis.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this, listen, you can jump into it. I've seen people have no idea what they're doing. They zero, get into a business and be super successful, right? But you can, that can happen. It's harder, but it can happen. But I've seen way more people never get in it. Why? Because they analyze the heck out of it. Oh, well, this could go wrong. That can go wrong. Oh, the guy over here, he said it was super tough. Oh, this guy said it was. Yeah, yeah. Entrepreneurship is hard, Sally. It's hard. And analysis is good, but don't paralyze yourself by doing too much. And knowledge is excellent, but too much knowledge. You know, people wonder, well, why did he do so well? He was a new guy. He didn't know what he was doing. There was four competitors right across from him. And this guy that had no idea what he was doing did so much better. Yeah, because he didn't do the status quo. He didn't really know what was wrong. He just did what he thought was common sense and would work. So that's the yin and the yang of doing research and doing too much research. You want knowledge, but you don't want to paralyze yourself. Mm-hmm. It's a fine line. It's a fine line, Mike.
Yeah. All right. Mistake number three is underestimating the importance of cash flow.
That's number three, right? Number two was No worries.
I'm skipping ahead of myself. I can't help it. I'm like another businessman. I'm ready to go.
No worries.
Mistake number two, not having a clear business plan.
Absolutely. Yep. So we preach in SCORE, right?
I mean, this is that's preached in SCORE. That's the mantra.
It's preached. And, you know, my mentor, who was Bob Goodyear, this guy, he lives and breathes these things. Now, just like everything else, I think you have to have a business plan. A lot of, you don't have to do it. But business plan to me is much different than the average person. Even if you do a bullet list of how you want to start, where you're going to get the money, what's my marketing plan, how am I going to get funding, who's my demographic, who's my perfect customer, how am I going to get X, Y, and Z? It doesn't have to be super intense. And again, going back to our last episode, breaking things down into edible bites is not intimidating. So I say business plan, but I mean just having an outline. Now, that being said, I have this a wonderful client in SCORE. She did a business plan that, I mean, I went to Seton Hall in the business program. She would have blown any of us away with this business plan. It's amazing. That's terrific. But it also is a little bit of paralysis by analysis. Mm-hmm. She felt she had to get everything right. The business plan has to be perfect. And it doesn't. It doesn't, Mike. No. It has to give you direction, but you're gonna go and you're gonna pivot 100 times by the time you become, let's call it, successful, right? So give yourself an outline. Start with 2 pages, right? The start, the finish, the end. How am I gonna get money? Where's my location going to be? What's my demographics? If you're doing something online, again, what are my demographics? Where am I going to put my website? Basic things. But you should have some sort of outline. Don't cowboy it. Don't go, I'll figure it out as I go. It just makes your life that much harder.
Yeah,
so business plan is super important, but a traditional, even, and you know, maybe I'm going to get in trouble for this. I don't know what our buddies at SCORE. The SCORE business plan is very intense. And I don't believe it needs to be that. You know, and Tony gave us one. He gave us a more basic business plan, which I do use for my clients. And again, it's more set up like bullet points.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've told when I was mentoring, I told the clients, business plans are what you think it should be. And it doesn't have to be a volume. You know, you don't have to make a tome. Business plan can be 3 or 4 pages tops.
Yes, it can, absolutely.
And I remember having one client who came in with a business plan that was 2.5 inches thick.
Yeah.
And I said to you, what are you doing? He said, well, I've been in business before, and I think I've got it all covered. Okay, well. Okay.
Yeah, and to that, I mean, back in the day, Mike, the banks wanted that, right? If you're going for $1 million, $2 million loans, which are loans the size that I used to get, back in the day, they, you know, if you came in with, I mean, you know, a little bit of a book, they're like, oh, this guy knows what he's doing. Now, again, these guys have their MBAs and their finance guys. But today, financing has become much different. Not that they don't want a book, but they want to know that, A, you have the wherewithal, you have the knowledge, and that you have an outline. They're not looking for that book anymore. Those days are gone. But listen, again, some people feel they need it. And you do you. Like, if you feel you need that book, God bless you, do it. But I'm telling you, you're gonna pivot 9 ways to Sunday.
I was gonna say, but you may start out business in one direction, and go completely someplace else, and it means your business plan's completely changed.
100%. Yeah, and that's happened in multiple of my businesses. You know, I had a restaurant. That restaurant turned into a bakery. That bakery turned into a wholesale bakery. Did I think that all was going to happen? I had a kind of an idea, but I didn't know. I thought the restaurant was going to do the best. The restaurant did the worst. And the wholesale baking did the best. Like, you don't know, you know. Right. Our ice cream store, when we opened it up, I was selling pies and stuff like that. It didn't work. People wanted ice cream. That's what they wanted. They wanted ice cream and they wanted some chocolate treats. So you're going to change. You're going to mold. You're going to pivot. And right. Again, the plan is good for an outline, but you know, you're going to pivot nine ways to Sunday.
Okay. Now on to mistake number three.
Okay.
Understanding the importance of cash flow.
Yes. This is one of the number one reasons people go out of business. They don't, and I'm going through this right now, not with a Score client, but with a friend of mine that's going, he's been in business before. And the problem with being in business before, you think you can achieve anything because you've already done it. And people underestimate in everything, in building, in food cost, in labor cost. And if you don't have the cash flow, especially today with credit, you know, people don't let you go the way they used to. You know, if you miss a month, your landlord's going to start foreclosing. If you don't pay your vendor in 30 days, most of the time you don't even get 30 days when you open up. You get COD. If you don't pay them, you don't get product. Having enough cash and anticipating how much cash you need, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 2 months worth of cash flow for your business, you're going to very quickly realize that the world's going to close down on you fast. And here's the problem with that. Can you get by? Sure, I did it. You can't clearly think when that is happening because now you're paying Peter for Paul. Your employees are, you know, they're sitting there on Friday. Well, where's my check, John? I don't understand. Why do I got to wait till tomorrow? Your landlord is like, hey, buddy, you know, it's the 15th. You were supposed to pay on the 1st. And all of those things going on start, you know, your vision becomes tunnel vision and you can't think clearly. So it's very important, especially if you're starting up, you have enough cash flow. It's super important. One of the number one reasons that new businesses go out of business.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. And mistake number four is trying to do everything themselves.
So, Mike, I told you multiple times in our couple interactions that this is all like these blogs are all about the mistakes I made, my things, and this is definitely one of them. So I'm that guy that's like, we need to build a shelf outside, John, for extra storage. Oh, yeah, I'll do that. One of the trucks just broke down and the starter is not work. Oh, OK, no problem. I'm not going to call. I'll do that. John, we have to do a new menu for the. Yeah, I'll take care of that. Listen to me. Listen. You can't do everything. You can, but you're not going to be good at anything. And probably one of my, I don't want to say regrets because I don't have regrets, but I should have put more people, better people to take the small things away from me not to do because the whole point of a, let's not call it a CEO because we're talking about small business here. But the whole point of an owner is for vision, where are we going? What are we doing? What are we not doing today? But what are we doing 5 months from now, 5 years from now? Where are we going? You can't have a vision. You can't think of those things when you're trying to not only put out fires, but you're trying to change a tire, bake bread, make a cake, do tomorrow's schedule. Unload a ice cream truck that just came in. It's too much. Now, I fully understand the thing that we just talked about is cash flow. And you're like, John, I just don't have the money for a manager. I get it. And that is a reason that in our last talk about my last block about having task management, time management, all those things matter, right? All those things are very important. So I understand as a young entrepreneur, you have to do a lot of things, but you do have staff and you should, I was going to say pawn off because that sounds horrible, Mike. You should delegate off the things that are not super important that somebody else who would love the opportunity to do more, right? They'd love the opportunity. Yeah, give me scheduling. I want to do it. You know, you're always putting me on a crap schedule anyway. Okay, Sally, here you go. You do the scheduling. One less thing on your plate. And that is, again, it's super important. We try to do, as entrepreneurs, we do try to do too many things ourselves.
Well, actually, funny, I just last week on one of the last shows I did was from a lady doing marketing, but she had a thing that she's always was telling her clients that if you're gonna hire people, you're gonna have to eventually as your business starts to progress, hire people smarter than you.
Yes.
Make them 100%. Make them smarter and delegate everything except what you really like to do.
Yeah.
Keep
no doubt.
What you like to do and delegate the rest.
Yeah.
And make
and
sure
that's,
that, yeah.
That's scary. It's scary to an entrepreneur to have to hire somebody smarter than you, right? But realistically, if you're the smartest one in the room, you're not helping anybody. You know, if you're not learning from your employees and from other entrepreneurs, and that's why for me, that's why even in SCORE, I love it because I talk to a whole bunch of people that have much different backgrounds than me to learn from, right? And hiring people, you just hit the nail on the head. Find somebody that knows, listen, smarter, not smarter, that's all, you know, relative. But find somebody that knows scheduling. Find somebody that specializes in scheduling or ordering or whatever you need to do, that task that you don't A, want to do, and B, don't do well. Find somebody that's better at it and bring them in. Have a meeting of the minds. Well, I really want it this way. Well, John, I know you want to do it this way, but I've done it this way, this, and oh, wow, George, that sounds really good to me. You know, so you want somebody to bounce that off of. And that sometimes is scary to people because, listen, as entrepreneurs, we're not, a lot of us are, you know, scrappy people that really didn't grow up with a lot of money. And we might have worked for somebody before. And you think that, oh, well, he's going to steal my idea and go do it over here. But listen, if you do things well, you have a great crew, no matter what your competition does, you'll be successful. Right. So yeah. That's what you said is super true. You know, hiring smart people, that's super, super true. Right. And it's hard. It's hard.
Yeah. All right. And finally, mistake number five, not focusing on customer service.
Yes. So, you know, I was in the food business, again, bakery, restaurant, ice cream store, all about customer service. And, you know, sometimes I wasn't, you know, you get aggravated, right? And sometimes you take it out on your employees, sometimes you take it out on your customer, but you got to realize that your customer, without the employees are super important, 100%. And very much like the customers, you have to treat your employees right, because how you treat them is how they treat the customer, right? Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, how the customer feels to come into your store or your widget place or your factory or whatever matters. There's so much competition. Mike, you don't even have to walk into a brick and mortar for anything anymore. You go on Amazon, you go on the computer, you can order anything. How do you compete with that? Well, I tell you how you compete with that. Amazon, I mean, although they do it very well, they're not personable, right? Now, if I'm a mom and pop and I'm going up against that, how am I going to, well, I'm going to know Sally by Sally's first name. I'm going to know what George is ordering when George walks in. I'll give you a perfect example. There is a McDonald's local to us. There's many McDonald's, but there's a gentleman that operates, I believe, three or four of the McDonald's that are in the Tom's River area. This guy does such, now there's other McDonald's, Mike. There's other, like literally within the same town, there's other McDonald's. But this gentleman runs such a great operation. His people, I go and get a coffee every morning, no matter which location I go to. It could be, I'm not going to say which locations, but it could be any of the locations. And the people are happy to be there. They're super attentive. They don't make you wait, you know, without saying at least hello within the first 10 seconds. That's not happenstance. That's the operator. That's the guy that owns the store that tells them how important it is that when somebody comes either in the store or comes up to that squawk box to place their order, how important it is to say, hi, good morning, thank you, we're just a little busy, can you give you two seconds? Sure, of course, I'm a human being, absolutely. As opposed to sitting there looking at that stupid box at a different McDonald's for 30, 45 seconds going, hello? Hello? Right? How frustrating is that? Now, that operator, I'm not saying he's a bad operator, but he's not really customer service attentive. And listen, I don't 100% agree with the customer's always right, because sometimes there's difficult people in this world. And sometimes, no matter how much you pay me or how much, you know, you're putting out, if you're rude and you're not a nice person, I don't need your business, right? I don't.
Right.
So I'm not on the camp that every customer, you know, is right. No, some people are rude. Some people don't deserve to have to come to my establishment. But that being said, that's few and far between. Most people, all they want, Mike, is an attentive, happy person that wants to be there, that just says, please, thank you, and have a great day. It's very simple. And those couple of small things will put you thousands. I go out of my way. I go another town over, Mike, to go to this McDonald's to get my coffee. Because it's not cheaper, but I just love the people, right? Okay. I love the operation. And I've told the owner that too. I've seen him in the drive-through. I know which truck he drives. I know who he is. And I mentioned it to him multiple times. You do a phenomenal job. Your people love being here, and you can tell that you're taking care of them. And that resonates customer service-wise, them to me, who's the customer. Absolutely. And it's a super important thing, super important thing.
Well, you know, John, everything you've said has been the mantra of every SCORE mentor that mentors new business owners, but it can never be said too much.
No, it can't.
And it's SCORE's objective to see that every new business is successful, and that's why SCORE was formed in the first place.
Yes.
And we all know that SCORE's small businesses are the backbone of the U.S. economy.
Yes.
And just as a little aside, there are 61.7 million workers and 46.4% of all employment comes from small businesses. It's amazing. Say.
Yeah.
So do you have any thoughts you'd like to leave the listeners with?
Well, I said this before and I'll say it again, and I can't iterate it enough for especially the young entrepreneur. And listen, I was an old entrepreneur. Being an entrepreneur, being a business person is hard. It's hard. There's nothing easy about it. But there's nothing more rewarding than being in business for yourself, first of all. Second of all, there is no better way to build wealth than being in business for yourself. Now, that's either by side hustle or by having your own business or having a real estate thing. There's no better wealth builder than being in business for yourself. And when it does get hard, when you think you can't go any further, when you're like this, what was I thinking? Now, there's two schools of thought. At some point, you do have to throw in the towel. And I did that when I had a restaurant. It was wrong for me. I should have never been in the restaurant business. When my parents were in the restaurant business, I hated it. So I threw in the towel. I felt like I was a failure. And to a certain point, I was. But I knew I shouldn't keep going. But when you know you have something and you kind of love it, but though everything is beating you down, just go another day. Just one more day. That's it. That's all you need. Just say, you know what? I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to see how tomorrow is. And 99% of the time you wake up the next day and tomorrow is 1,000 times better. So it's the process. It's doing it. And I don't want to say loving it, but it's doing it and understanding that this is probably better than working for somebody, you know, that you're just not happy going to a job every day. So it's tough. Love the process. That's okay. Basically what I want to say.
Well, thank you, John. And I hope you'll come back again.
I absolutely will, Mike. Terrific. Thank you so much. I'll see you on the next one.
Okay.
There you have it, listeners. While these are not the only mistakes entrepreneurs make, they are the biggest ones. As Henry Ford stated, failure is simply the opportunity to begin again, this time more intelligently. Running a business is not an easy task. It's a continuous challenge. Try to avoid mistakes, and when they happen, welcome them with a smile. Get some expert advice, analyze the mistake, learn what went wrong, and try to never make the same mistake again. Learn how to deal with business failure. We usually get surrounded by successful business stories. There is a good number of failure stories. Be aware of the mistakes that are made and be proactive to avoid them. By research, planning, and flexibility, you can avoid many of the pitfalls of a new business. Also, when you make a mistake, learn the lesson, evolve, and win. If you would like more information about this show, or for that matter, any past Score Business Point show, you may email me at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If there's a topic you would like to hear discussed on Score Business Points, or you have a comment about this show or any past show, you may email me at the same address, sbp@wbnj.org. Are you a small business owner who has overcome a business problem? Maybe you would like to let the listeners know how you did it. If so, send me an email at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. Or maybe you're a subject matter expert and would like to pass on your knowledge to the listeners. I can be reached at the same email address, sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. As you may be aware, SCORE provides free business mentoring and education to the small business owner or potential small business owner. The education takes the form of webinars or in-person seminars. The Southeast chapter of SCORE holds these webinars and in-person seminars throughout the year at various locations in Ocean, Atlantic, and Cape May counties. To learn more about what webinars and in-person seminars are being held, go to score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj and click on local workshops in the top navigation. Once there, you can click on any one of the webinars or in-person seminars listed to learn more about it and how to register. That's all the time I have for today. I would again like to thank my guest, John Baruti, for taking time out of his busy day to be with us. Tune in again next week for more SCORE Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying, so long until then.
For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They've been doing this for over 50 years because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA. And thanks to a network of 11,000 plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information on how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at wbnj.org. SCORE Business Points is a production of the New Jersey Southeast Chapter of SCORE and 91.9 WBNJ.